excited about this new year. But you know, Sister LeBray has messed with my mind. I had a whole lesson prepared, and I couldn't get away from her testimony yesterday. It haunted me. I was last night, 10 o'clock, in front of my computer, one page. My original thing is sitting in the dining in my kitchen, and so I'm not too sure exactly what you'll get, but it has haunted me. Who am I in the kingdom of God? Who am I in the kingdom of God? I need to start this new year. You know, my grandson is going to graduate high school, and he's been checking out some colleges, and they're like, well, what do you want to be? And in order to get to what you want to be, what do you need to know and to do to get there? What kind of classes? What things do you have to do to prepare yourself? And I'm thinking, do I have that attitude that there is something that I need to be in the kingdom of God? And am I developing? Am I preparing myself? You know, and I've been shocked lately. I've gone to Ohio and visit friends back home, different places. There are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that are still all the way back in time carrying all this stuff and not knowing who they are. Some of them said, yeah, you know, I still know. I remember when my brother called me a loser, big loser, jerk, idiot, said I'm still carrying that. I'm like, my goodness, you're 60-something years old, and you're still carrying that? One person said, I can remember when my mom said, you'll never amount to anything. Now they've run a business, raised a family, work in the church, but they're still all the way back to you'll never amount to anything. They're still carrying that into the new year. They need to know who they are. You know, a teacher one time told this young boy, said, you're trouble. You're nothing but trouble. You'll always be trouble. Trouble will follow you all the days of your life. And he's carrying that. He's not leaving that behind. How do you get to 70 years old and still remember the day you went to sell candy for your school? And let me tell you something. If you're going to sell candy, do not go to a rich neighborhood. They do not buy candy. Poor people buy candy because they have empathy. But walked all the way across town in the hot Texas heat. And if you've ever been in, well, North Carolina, could be the same thing. Got there sweaty. Get lost, poor white trash. And carry that till you're 70 years old. It haunts you in the back of your mind as you try to develop and grow and be something in God. But you know you're still just poor old white trash. Haunt you. We need to leave that back there. We shouldn't be carrying that stuff. Society, life shows up. We start living life, and what do we get? Fornicator, liar, hater, murderer, adulterer. And we carry that. We carry those names even after we come in. They haunt us in the back of our mind, no matter how old we get. And I thought, we need to come into this new year. Who am I in the kingdom of God? Am I developing in? I hate to steal your sermon, but it's haunted me. I can't get rid of it. You can have mine in the kitchen. I'll give it to you. Charles Lamb said, New Year's Day is every man's birthday. Every man's birthday, you start with a clean sheet. C.S. Lewis said, you cannot go back and change the beginning. But you can start where you are and change the ending. Change. It stops here. All of that has got to stay back there. You know what? When you watch, I watched a basketball game. Well, I didn't really watch it. I was passing through, and they got all excited, so I stopped to see. And the guy goes, they were so far behind, but the guy at the last minute, poomp! And they won. They could have cared less if they started on slow or was halfway, they looked like the loser. The only thing they cared about was at the last minute they won. We have got to come to grips with who we are in the kingdom of God. Get ready to develop who we want to be in God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You were. Past tense. Amen. Leave it in the old year. Leave it back in your childhood. Leave that stuff. We don't have to carry it. The new year, our birthday. You know, I don't know. Do they still use chalkboards in school now with all this computer stuff? I ain't been to school in so long. I ain't even visited my grandkids' school. But we used to have chalkboards, and every night you wiped it off, and the next day they started a new subject. That's what we need to do. We got this blank slate here, and we need to write on it. We were, past tense. We're not accepting that anymore. Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended." Hey, we ain't everything we're supposed to be, but we're pressing. We're going there. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," forget those, "and reaching forth into those things which are before. And I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press. A little work, a little development. If you are ever in the office, you know we hate the word process, because it has this painful connotation of growth and work, and we don't like it. And when someone says, "You know, it's the process," oh, we're going to be in for work or trouble. But we're going to press towards the mark, press towards the prize. We are created to be loved by God. In 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world may not know who we are. When we go in the store, they may not know that we're the sons of God. But let me tell you, we better know it. We better know not only who we are, but we better know who we belong to. We belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great God of glory. We are children of the Most High God. Write that on your chalkboard. Children, I am a child of God. We are children of God. And since we're children of God, we're the sons of God. He has made us to be his heirs. Wow. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Write that. Sons of God, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Write that on that brand new clean chalkboard. All right. All of us aren't going to be apostles. We're not all going to be prophets. We're not all going to be big-time famous preachers. We're not all going to be good-looking. I can attest to that. We're not going to all be influential, but I'll tell you one thing. We're not all going to have the same gifts, but I'll tell you what. We're all heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that other stuff doesn't really matter in the. We are the sons of God. We are heirs with him. We are created to be workers together with God. Most fathers, when they have a business, they train their sons up in that business, and when they die, they take over. We're in the business of winning souls. Well, he has wants to train us up and give us, hand it over to us while he's gone. You take care of this spiritual business while I'm gone. In Revelations 5:10, it says, "Has made us unto our God kings and priests. we shall reign on the earth. Write it, kings and priests. That's what we're trying to develop into. That's what we're trying to press towards. We need to put that instead of loser on our chalkboard. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Get it on the chalkboard. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have royal status. We need to know who we are. Every believer is called to fulfill the prophetic, priestly, and kingly office and role in the kingdom of God. We're all called to that. As a priest, we're ordained to offer up ourselves to sacrificial service. Hey, if I get off track, you say, get back it up, girl. Get back on your notes. But I'm going to stop right here. This is not my... I was amazed, so proud of all the work and the people sacrificially, guest, staying to clean. I'm not going to let my brothers and sisters have to do this alone. People stayed into the night. Guests stayed into the night. I'm amazed at all the work that goes around here sacrificially because they love God. It's amazing. We're all ordained to offer ourselves sacrificially to the service of God in one way or another. These young men that get here early, these people that get here early to open the building, it amazes me. And I've told my adult class time and time again, I don't have to wait to see the heroes of the Bible. I sit with them. I sit with great heroes of faith, people that have been steadfast and faithful, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Sorry, I did that to my Bible. Anyway, we're called to be kings, enthroned to war against the Lord's enemies and to expand the kingdom of God. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples, bring children in. And I know this concept of royalty. You know, we don't have royalty here per se, you know, like they do in England. But let me tell you what, we need to get a mindset. We need to get a mindset that if God can turn coal into diamonds and sand into pearls and a worm into the gorgeous butterfly, a sinner into a saint, then he can make a commoner, an adulterer, a murderer into a king. He can take poor white trash and make it royalty. You know, another man's junk is another man's treasure. God takes the throwaways and the things the world don't want, and he cleans you up. If you let him, if you stay on the wheel, he will make something amazing out of your life. Amazing, I can testify. I can't convey it to you, but I can testify to you. What you see today was not what walked through the door of the church. He's brought me a long way, Brother Bibb. I owe him so much. I owe him to try to live up to it. I owe it to my God. We are born to wear a robe and a crown. We're born for that. We need to know that as we come into this year. We are a robe. It's, you know what the robe is? It's like the mantle. When Elisha said to Elijah, you know, I want that mantle. I'm not going to leave you until I get it. It's the passing of the office from the mentor to the student. It's like the anointing, the mantle of leadership. You know, when they have the coronation day for the king or the queen, they put this big robe. They say it's very weighty. You feel the weight of the responsibility of leadership. But we can take it. We were born to wear a robe and a crown. The crown represents power, victory, triumph, honor, and glory. It said this, it said a crown was placed on the head, indicating that the one was set apart for a particular calling. When you see that crown, you know who they are. You don't have to guess. Kings and priests both wore crowns. In Exodus 29 and 6, when they consecrated the priest, and thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. God had mercy. What a merciful God. Instead of putting this heavy gold thing, he let them wrap their heads with yards and yards of linen to kind of cushion when that heavy crown. He thinks of everything, Brother Bibb. He don't leave anything out. I know that's not proper English, but you and I, we can relate. Exodus 39 and 30. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like to the engraving of a signet, holiness unto the Lord. That crown, pure gold, holiness. Have you looked in the mirror lately? What's written on your crown? I did it my way? No, we wear a crown in honor. This beautiful crown, it says holiness unto the Lord. We were born to wear a robe and a crown. We need to remember that as we go into the new year. The crown jewels, they symbolize the qualities that monarchy is supposed to exemplify to their people, like dignity and justice and mercy and courage. I can remember reading, I loved history. I can remember reading when Queen Victoria, when during World War II, they were bombing London and they told the king, they said, send the queen and the children away from the bombing. And they went to her and they said, well, how come you're still here? And she said, if the king doesn't go, I don't go. If I don't go, the kids don't go. It's all for one, one for all. We're all in this fight together. We're going to be courageous together. We're going to fight together. And if we go down, we'll go down together. But we're in this together. You know, even your children need to learn who they are. The minute they come out of the womb, they say they begin to train them. And it's still within what they're supposed to be. They are royalty. They walk a certain way. They talk a certain way. They immediately begin to train their children. Don't you send them off somewhere else and you fight the battle alone. You teach them how to fight. You teach them how to stand. You teach them how to be royal. You don't send them off. Revelation. God will reward us for our service. He will return, and we will return the honor back to him. In Revelation 4:10 and 11, it said the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they created and were created. The 24 elders were a model for us. And they say, I don't know, that, you know, have you ever heard how many jewels do you have in your crown? Some people say every time you dust the pulpit, Brother Bibb, every time you vacuum this floor, Suhey, every time you clean the bathroom, every time you come up here and you spend hours practicing and on in Sunday school and everything else, every time you get a jewel in your crown. But you know all the talent and all of that, you realize you couldn't have done that without God enduing you with strength and health and talents and whatever. And so what you do when you realize, you take that crown off and you cast it back to him. It belongs to you, God. The glory, the honor, the praise, it all belongs to you. I will not leave it upon my head. Oh, we have a wonderful God. Queen Victoria, too, she said she prayed. She was famous because she would tell people, she said, I pray that Jesus Christ comes back in my day. And I'm asking him, I know it says a moment in the twinkling of an eye, but I'm asking that he would just give me a space of time that I could literally take off this earthly crown and I could cast it at his feet. She knew she, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I hold the position that I hold. Everything I have belongs to him. I would love to be able to literally take it off and cast it at his feet in worship. Oh, a royal spokesman said this, asked this question, do you want to be a royal? You know, there's been a lot of royal weddings, and so there's been a lot in the news about royalty. And they said, do you think you would want to be a royal? And of the British royal family, because they're the highest respected of all the royal families. He said, it is an enormous task and responsibility that taking on the crown involves. It's a huge job. It said it looked like they do nothing. But they said, really, if you were to go into the inner workings of it all, they almost work nonstop. It's kind of like a church. And I got to walk carefully here. What's done here is just very minimal compared to what goes on in the office. It's an enormous job. It's nonstop. And the responsibility is great because, you know, the old saying, it says, so goes the crown, so goes the nation. So goes the king, so goes the nation. You have a king and a crown that has integrity and they look to their God. Your nation will be blessed. But you get a king that does not have integrity, that is immoral. Your nation is going under. So goes the king, so goes the crown, so goes the nation. So go us, so goes this city, so goes this world. We need to hold the light. We need to have the crown, holiness unto our God. We need to carry the weight of the mantle because the city is depending upon us. One spokesman said, anybody who knows anything about the tremendous amount of work that the royal family does would know that they are not doing it for their own purposes. They are not doing it out of a sense of duty and devotion. It is a role of duty and of service. It is not a role of self-indulgence. So if you were in it just for yourself, you would never take on that role. None of them really wanted. Prince Harry said, I would like to throw it all down, go to South Africa, and be a wildlife guide. Because everything's scrutinized. It's nonstop. They're looking at you every minute. It said, you think of royalty. You think of crowns and castles and privileges. However, being a royal is not a walk in the park. It said tiaras and titles come with a whole list of responsibilities. Being royal is not a cakewalk. From fashion to politics to dining to social graces to discipline children, plus you discipline pets. People make comments if their cat, their dogs are yippy. There's loads of rules and protocol royalty is expected to abide by. Joining the world's most famous family requires learning the proper etiquette for every single possible situation that could come under the sun. Do you think you have what it takes to become part of the British royal family? They asked that question. They said this, Meghan Markle is a real Cinderella story. But Meghan Markle had to change dramatically everything almost in her lifestyle. I'll tell you what, when we come to God and we repent, That's a dramatic change. If I were going east to the ocean and God said, now you got to repent, turn around, I'm going west to the mountains. That's a dramatic change. They will do it for an earthly kingdom. Why are we so pitiful when we have to do it for our King, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our all in all? We act pitiful. Oh, I got to change. But she's going to do it willingly. You know what they told her when she went for studies to be a princess? They said, you need to sit down, shut your mouth, and be humble. Can you imagine if we went into cross training and Brother Dan says, you need to sit down, shut your mouth, and be humble? We'd be out of there. See ya, buddy. They'll do that for an earthly kingdom. Hey, we're nice to you when you come into cross training. You can even ask questions. Now, don't ask me because I usually don't know that. Brother Dan knows it. I'm like, Brother Dan will answer that next week. I beg him, don't put me in cross training. I wasn't going to ask me a question. I ain't going to know it. Brother Ben, make me stay on my notes. Matthew 10:37. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that has taken not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus tells us clearly that if we wish to follow him, we've got to lay down our own life. We got to lay down our way. We got to lay down our opinions. We got to lay down all of that me, me, me. What do you want, God? What's your will? We got to go there. It's hard. And especially if you don't see any immediate results. But the just shall live by faith. You know, I had to get into this again. It's like diet class. You know, you don't see the results the next day. But if you keep it up, you might. See, I know I'm not going to keep it up, so I don't even start. Meghan Markle will have to become a new person. I tell you what, one writer made the biggest deal. Do you know she's going to have to take his name? She's a feminist, and she's going to just drop that and take his name. Why would we not want that? I was at a wedding one time. Can't say the names. You've got to protect the innocent. But you know, you're at a reception. And they say, I had to practice this today because kept getting it wrong. And it's about me. And now, presenting Sharon Elaine Hall and Anthony Correcha, husband and wife. Two different names. I got to get off this because I know there are going to be some people who don't like me. But I'm just old-fashioned. Why would I not want to take the love of my life's name? I was chomping at the bit to marry the guy, and then I'm going to tell him I don't want his name? I can't process it. Then we're the bride of Christ. Why would we not take on the name that is above every name? All power in heaven and earth is in that name. Why would I not want it? I'm not ashamed of that name. We're going to proclaim it to the world. We may not finish. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, they'll do it for the world. Will we do it for God? Will we become a royal for God? All right, we don't play by the Queen's rules, but we look in the book. Our King tells us everything he wants right here. One commentator said, I should have asked the pastor, but I'm going to read it to you just like I read it. One commentator said, for God's sake, she converted to another religion, was baptized and confirmed into the Church of England. Oh, all disgusted. Why couldn't she just keep her religion and go on and be a royal? It said royals can't belong to any religion other than the Protestant Anglican Church, because the monarchy of Britain is also the supreme head of the church. As sovereign, the queen holds the title of the defender of the faith, the chief governor of the Church of England. We are the defenders of our faith. We leave all of that. I wasn't born and raised in this. You know, when you first come in, you want to vacillate back and forth. You want to do a little of that and a little of this and a little of everything. It doesn't work that way. One guy said, it would be awkward if someone in the royal family practiced a different religion with the Queen Mother being the head. This is what we defend. Every word from Genesis to Revelation. We defend this with everything that we have. One said she had to swap out her Americanism and denounce her citizenship, as only British citizens can have royal titles. She has to take an oath of allegiance to the queen. Well, they take an oath to a worldly queen that's going to die. I know she's in her 90s, but she's going to pass away, and that kingdom will probably all pass away. But we have had made an allegiance to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lover of our soul. And we will keep that oath. We will keep that oath. They said, oh, she had to give up acting. She was a celebrity. Do you know what she gave up for Prince Charming? And you know what someone said back to her? They said, well, let me inform you of something. The queen is the creme de la creme, the celebrity of the celebrities. You don't get higher than the queen if you want to be a celebrity. Royalty is the umph of the celebrities. What did she give up? A few people knowing her name. Now the whole world knows her name. She really didn't give up anything. This was her reply. She did. She said, I don't see it as giving anything up. I just see it as a change. I see it as a new chapter in my life. That's what we're doing. We're turning the page. We're erasing the board. A new chapter. A new beginning. A new start. A new developing. A new growth. Not, oh, poor me. All right, so I get to have a robe and crown. I get to live in a palace. I get to have servants. But, man, I got to give up my itty-bitty celebrity. That's how we are. One said, being part of the royal family is an amazing privilege, but it comes without a lot of tradition and rules of which affect every part of your life. You must maintain a clean image. There's a reason that the members of the royal family always look so fabulous when they go out in public. They are representing the monarchy, which means they need to look their best. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent our God. That's why we try spruce it up a little bit. Now, if you see me in my house in the morning, robe, one slipper of this color, one slipper of that, because I can't find the other one. I mean, I'm a mess. I would not want you to drop off on me in the morning. But when we come and we represent our God, we need to spruce up a little bit, look a little bit better, and try to, you know, we're ambassadors. When we're out there in the stores, we're ambassadors of Christ. They're looking at us. Hey, that's royalty. Let me see how they act. Let me see how they're dressed. Let me see how they talk. They know us. One time, two ladies came knocking at my door. They wanted to tell me about Jehovah. And both of them were dressed so nice. They had these nice dresses on, this young girl. I asked her, I said, do you go to school? She said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, did you wear that dress to school? She said, oh, no, I don't wear dresses to school. She said, I only wear a dress when I'm a witnessing. Only when I witness for my God. I said, well, aren't you a witness at school? Aren't you a witness in the store? Aren't you a witness in the park? Is this something you put on and take off? Like Christian, do we put it on and take it off? Okay, I'll be a Christian today, but you know, I'm going to take it off now and I'm going to do a quick change here. And then I'm going to jump back into it. We are always ambassadors. We are to conform to the image and the likeness of our God. We don't put this thing on and take it off. It's supposed to become so much a part of us. It should be there no matter where we are, who's around, who sees us and who don't see us. It said Meghan Markle must learn the dress code for a royal. It is no secret that being a member of the royal, British royal family requires following a lot of rules, many of which are set by the Queen herself. Some are rules of historical in nature. Here are some of the Queen's rules. You have to dress appropriately. Women have to look feminine. They have to be in comfortable clothes and conservative clothes. Nothing provocative allowed. It's said in the royal family, the dress, modesty, is the key that separates the British royalty from all the other royalty, their main point. Now, she's losing ground on that with this younger generation, but she's trying to hold that up. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety. She's trying, you know, it's a they have to learn scripture in royal British royalty. Maybe she got it from there. I gotta hurry. How much time do I have here? Anyway, so it began to list a lot. You can look this up. I mean, there are so many rules. We'd be here all night if I was to tell you all the Queen's rules. One of them is the hemlines. No showing too much leg. Keep the dress at a respectable knee length. Messing with the hem could get you some serious glances from the monarch. She won't be too happy. Harper's Bazaar, I don't know, I think that's a magazine. They wrote in there, it said, never wearing skirts that are too short is practically a no-brainer for royalty. You should immediately know, oh, that's too short. And you know what, ladies, this ain't in my notes, but I'll tell you a little secret I learned. Do not ask your husband or rely on him to tell you if you are dressed appropriately. I think they're so used to seeing you in intimate settings that if your slip is showing a little bit, that is nothing to him. He ain't even gonna notice it. But let me tell you what, the reporters will notice it. Bzz, bzz. You ought to have the reporters, you know, stand outside the palace and they'll get them ship shape before they get in public. The reporters love to do that, but don't rely on your husband. I saw a woman with a huge old, brother, man, make me stay on my notes, a honking label, and he has to pass her like this, and this label is there. I'm three rows back. I want to go. He never noticed. It stayed there. He left and came back and came back again. He never noticed the label. Don't ask your husband. Ask another woman. They see it all. They know if it's too tight. They know if it's too revealing. All right, where am I? Number two. Sleeveless tops and sheer tops are a no-no. They're suggestive. They're risque looking. Shoulders should be covered. Meghan Markle's having a hard time with that one. Cleavage is a big no with the Queen. Royals are always quite modest with their neckline. It's an unspoken rule from the Queen to cover up in public. Low-cut necklines are a staple red carpet trend for Hollywood, but this look will definitely not fly for royals. If it is suitable for a celebrity on the red carpet, it is not suitable for a royal. Somebody read that and said, you know what? The royal ladies have the misfortune of living in a fabric prison. To the knee. A fabric prison. Ooh. And somebody said, you think that's a big deal and compared to all the perks that they have? Do you think that to be modest from here and cover the knee is a big deal when God gives us so much? We can come boldly before the throne of God. He's an ever-present help. All the perks we have in God, and that we're going to think we're in a prison because we've covered our body and looked modest. We're going to resent that. They said, what are you, crazy? It's a small price when you live in a palace. Another thing is, thou shalt not sit with legs apart or crossed at the knee. She despises when you cross it. It's called, you need to do the Duchess slant. Sister, you got it. About got it. Brother Bib, let me sit there a minute. I'll show you. I gotta practice it. You sit down with your knees together, you cross your ankles, and you slant your legs. The Duchess slant. We gotta check y'all out. Because they sit up on pulpits and stages. They do a lot of talks. They sit on the front rows and the front pews. And you can see a whole lot. And so it says, this is to ensure that their modesty is always intact. And she said, I understand. The queen said, I understand people make mistakes. They got a habit of crossing their legs. She said, I don't care if they forget. Once they remember to go into practice, she said, it's the intent. Are they doing that intentional? Or are they doing that because they've forgotten? A lot of grace. No bare legs. I thought this was strange, but I'll share it with you. It said, when Harry and Meghan announced their engagement to the world, many people were looking forward to getting a glimpse at the amazing rock on her finger. Think, I found my wedding ring. I thought I lost it. I found it. Nevertheless, some people had a hard time looking past her legs. Yes, her legs. Bare legs are too casual. One should wear tights. They call pantyhose tights. It sounds a little more respectable. For formal occasions and official business. It is to be seen if Meghan Markle's bare-leggedness was just a one-time thing or if she will continually commit to bucking the royal dress code, says Joan Bryant. And an etiquette advisor explained this crime of fashion. It's a crime to be on the pulpit, to be on the stage, to represent her and have bare legs. You don't show skin, according to her. Hats are a no-brainer in England. One of the most important accessories is a hat or a fascinator. I guess like a, you know, every woman has her head covered. I thought, wow, we're kind of like that in 1 Corinthians 11:15. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. We got one. She's going to like us. Nails. The queen is known for her disapproval of flashy nails. That includes too long or any sort of bright nails. The queen thinks loud, bright nails are vulgar. Natural-looking polishes such as clear or soft pink or taupe is acceptable. Makeup. No more heavy red carpet makeup for Meghan Markle. She's going to be transformed into a princess. As members of the royalty, the princess must always wear natural-looking makeup. No obnoxious accessories. They like you to wear things that are functional. It said, no babies out of wedlock. The queen is head of the Church of England, is an incredibly religious person. And as a Christian, she does not believe a baby should ever, ever be born out of wedlock. So many of these rules, one person said, revolves around what the queen likes and what the queen hates and what the queen wants. And then one guy said, oh, she's the queen. She's sovereign. She can tell what she likes and doesn't like. She's the queen. She's the ruler. Well, we have a king. And he tells us what he hates. He tells us what he likes. He tells us what he thinks is an abomination. And he tells us how much he loves us, right, and how much he cares for us, and how long-suffering he is, and how gentle he is. And he woos us. And we might make mistakes because we're creatures of habit. And we've always talked that way, and we've always dressed that way, and we always acted that way. But he's like, oh, come on. All right, uncross them like, get them right. Get that right. Get that. No, no. Like my husband. Go back in there. Change that. I don't like it. You know what they told her, Meghan Markle? Fake it till you make it part of you. When I first came in and had to raise my hand, I felt dumber than a rock. But you fake it until suddenly, if you sit out there and you don't raise your hand and worship God, then you feel dumber than a rock. Why am I sitting here not worshiping the Lord when he's do it? You fake it until you make it a part of you. In other words, practice, practice, practice. You get it wrong, you get up and do it again until you make it right. Oh, reporters love to report every time a royal messes up. They are almost gleeful. You should see some of the stuff they write. We don't see a lot of it here, but in Britain, they're like, oh, I bet the queen is chapped tonight because she went out and that dress was too much, big a slit and all of that. They love it. They wring their hands. Ooh, we love it. But one woman said, you know what? As much as we love it, as much as we look at all the mistakes they make, she said, there is something to be said. When they come on the scene, when they look regal, when they've dotted the I's and they've crossed the T's, and they come in and they look like who they were born to be. She said, her words, they look fab. We dog on it and we criticize it, but we love to see it. Somebody needs to be royal. Somebody needs to live up to it. Tonight, I'm finishing. I meant to tell you, I'm finishing. So tonight, we need to follow Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. It said the biggest threat to the British monarchy lies within their personal behavior. If the monarchy falls, it will be because they have let down on their standards. They have let down on tradition. And the biggest threat to us is if we let down, is our personal behavior. I can attest to you, when I came through the doors of the church, the song at that time was something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. He can take trash and make it something beautiful. He can make us new. And you know, people say, well, that's not me. No, it's not me. And in my life didn't work out when it was me, but I'm going to try it his way. As we come, let's take a look at what God has done for us. Let's take a look at what he wants us to be. Let's take a look at all the blessings. Let's look at our crown. Let's straighten it out. Let's take an inventory. How many jewels are in there? What do we have to present to him for all the things he's done for us? I don't know about you, but he's brought me a long, long way from where I used to be. He's made me from a sinner to a saint. I love him tonight. He loves us. He wants us to walk on streets of gold. He wants us to wear a robe and a crown. Yes. He wants to make something beautiful out of each and every one of our lives. Let's worship him today. Something.